Today I want to talk about imagination. Imagination. When you start to think about this topic, it is unbelievable how broad, deep, and wide it is. You can really go in a lot of different places when you start thinking about imagination. You can imagine all kinds of things. I had this conversation on Friday with a client who is now a close friend. He wanted to sell a car, but he's been unable to sell it. And when we talked about it, it was clear to me that this was an energy issue. It was an imagination issue more than anything. It was a concern or a fear or a certain energy pattern that was surrounding him and surrounding the car that he had imagined into place, and then he was a prisoner of that energy pattern that he had imagined. He was concerned about it. He didn't want to sell to friends because his father, when he was a little boy, said, "You never want to sell a car to a friend, because if there's something wrong with it, then you take the risk of ruining your relationship with your friend. And the sale is almost never over because you're going to be seeing that friend a lot of times in the future. Consequently, you don't want to sell to friends." So he had that image in mind. On the other hand, he also had the image of not being a salesperson. So his awkwardness and energy around, "Well, I don't really know how to sell, I'm not really a salesperson," and so on, were all active. So in our conversations, I said, this is an energy issue. This is a common energy issue, and we just need to be able to change your point of view, change what you're imagining, change how you're seeing this whole situation. You're not actually selling a car. You're gifting a car. It's a decent car, right? He said, "Sure it is. Sure. It's a good car and gets good mileage and it is in good shape. We just don't happen to need this car at this point." So really, you're giving this as a gift to somebody who is aspiring to own a used Acura with low mileage in real good condition at a reasonable price. That's really what you are doing. So it would pay to imagine that, giving a gift to somebody. He said, "You know, when I see people working in the neighborhood, I have this image. I have been imagining that one of them could use it, but then I put the brakes on again, energetically." So that's okay. Cool. So we talked about it some more, and he's like, I think I'm getting this different point of view about it. I can imagine something else. We can imagine the sky falling. Why not imagine the sky being bright and shiny and blue and wonderfully warm and safe and sure. So I got an email from him late last night. Car sold. Sold it to a college student who has wanted an Acura, loves Acuras, and the car is gone. "Thanks for helping me do a mental reset." And to me, this is a very common thing to be able to do this, to be able to reset the way we are thinking about something. It's almost as if we have an electric fence around this. We put a force field around something, and we don't allow ourselves to do something, or we don't allow other people to do something. And when we change that, it's as if we turn the power off to this negative, "I got to protect myself because of fill in the blank." And then all of a sudden, really cool things can happen. Last night I thought, I think I need to be able to write about this, journal about it, talk about it. Problem solved, and how that happened for my friend Bill. And if you'd look at it, you can say, well, this change of energy was done by imagination. The first situation was put in place by imagination. The second situation, that is, okay, I'm gifting this. This is going to be good. I'm blessing somebody by selling this car. It's put in place by imagination as well. Having done this several times with rental property and home sales for clients, it's, to me, a very interesting concept. Everybody on this call, everybody listening to this call, could apply it to themselves and could apply it to clients. Like, I want to do something, but I'm unable to do it. Well, in order to be unable to do something, you have to imagine being unable to do it, first of all, and stop right there. I can't speak Mandarin Chinese. I imagine that. But it doesn't prevent me going, well, I'd be interested in changing that. I could start studying Mandarin Chinese right after this call is done. I could study it, and little by little, I add images to my inventory, Mandarin Chinese. I'd be able to form images with my lips and tongue and teeth and mouth. It's like, and make whatever noises are appropriate in Mandarin Chinese. If I want to learn how to make images on a piece of paper, that is, write in Mandarin Chinese, I could learn it. Like, oh, yeah. That's really how we do it. When we don't know stuff, it's because, in my opinion, we don't have images. I don't have images of Mandarin Chinese. If I saw it on a piece of paper, I would go, I can't really tell if this is Mandarin Chinese, Japanese, Korean. I got to put it into Google Translate, and say, tell me what language this is, and then it would show me. I lacked images. So if we want to do anything, we can acquire those images. My daughter Lisa had spent a year in Baghdad. She was at that time in the United States Air Force. When she came home, she owns a home in Melbourne, Florida. She said to me one afternoon, Dad, I'm looking at my home. It's vacant. The renters have moved out, and I haven't had anybody interested in it. The property manager has said nobody has called about my house at all. And we talked about energy patterns. And what she could do about her energy pattern relative to herself and the house. She really controls the energy around this house. We talked about that on the phone for a while, and 2 days later she said, You were right about that. I love my house so much, I wasn't making it available to anybody else. I was holding on to it because I love it so much. So once I realized what I was doing, it was almost like I was putting a cloaking shield a la Star Trek around it. Nobody could find it. Nobody could see it. And when I started to think of the ideal family that needed to rent a house this fantastic, that it became available. Just in 2 days, I had 3 inquiries, 2 offers, and day after tomorrow, the family moves in. I accepted one of the 2 offers. It was my energy that I was imagining around this that was holding people away, not allowing them to find and rent this house. A guy from Wisconsin, Scott, called me a couple of years ago, said, I cannot sell my house. I need to sell my house. I have a new job in Alabama. I need to move and buy a house down there. And I have no inquiries on my house. It's a great house. sent me pictures of it. What a great house. He had a wife and, I think, three boys. And I explained to him, holding on, making it available to the ideal family. This was the ideal home for some ideal family. And now it just needed to be available to them energetically. So we got that. So within 2 weeks, he had an offer. He sold his house. But the challenge had been his wife loved the house. Women, as I had said before, tend to be more magnetic. Guess what magnets do? They hold on. They hold on. And they're also capable of organizing nests and holding on to a structure. So this beautiful home that her boys had lived in for their entire lives, it was like, I have no idea what, hundreds, I guess maybe it's 1,000 miles to the south, is going to offer. So she was holding on to it. You could really say that was lust. I got to have this house. I got to have this house. I'm afraid if I let go of this house, there'll be no other house in Alabama or anywhere else for that matter. It's like, that's just imagined. Those points of view are just imagined. I had a builder, real estate agent he was a broker, upstate New York, called me. I forget actually why he called me, but it became very clear that the main stress in his life was a house that he had built 18 months ago and he absolutely loved. It was like a child to him. And he could not sell it. Few people saw it, not many. And he couldn't get any offers. He had a couple people come and look at it, and he hated these people. So he was using anger. I hate those kind of buyers, that demeaned my house. And, it was like saying your child is ugly to somebody. You're not going to win friends that way. So Joe couldn't sell his house. I said, Joe, this is an energy problem. Well, I want you to tell me where to advertise. I said, I don't know where to advertise. This is an energy problem. Let me explain it. I went on to explain this energy that he had around his house, around buyers, around himself, that were these energy fields were holding other people away. I think I get it. Within a month, he had sold his house. Somebody needed a little minor adjustment for a builder. It was a piece of cake. Got his price, loved the person who was making that offer, and it was wonderful. He was amazed. He thought I was a miracle worker. It was his energy. He shifted his energy. And we can do the same thing with regard to anything. We can change our energy. When we put our attention on any object, we're going to start processing the environmental signals. If we look at something, light is going to be entering our eyes, and we're going to start processing those signals. If we hear something, it's going to enter our ears, and we're going to process it. If we touch something with our fingers, we say we're out shopping, we go into a clothing store, and we're touching the material of slacks or blouses or shirts or suits or something, we're processing information as we touch that. And there are other ways, not just the five senses. I would add smell to that and taste, but there are other ways to sense things. We process environmental signals. And we imagine what those signals mean. We train ourselves. When I lived in Manhattan, I used to see this on a regular basis, and I used to feel bad about it. I'd be in an elevator with multiple people, and the door opens, and in walks a black person. And I would watch the rest of the people back up against the wall. Wow. Unless that person was deaf, dumb, and blind, they would know, wow, when I step into an elevator with white people in it, they imagine something about me that's mighty, mighty scary. I'm talking about people wearing suits and, you know, business dress and stuff, so it's, we're not talking anything out of the ordinary. I was like, wow, what was happening? People were imagining. They had learned certain images. There were certain images in their inventory, and they were imagining. And physiologically, they were reacting to what they had imagined. It's like, whoa, man, that's a challenge. We take in environmental signals from, conceivably from the moment we are conceived to right up until we take our last physical breath. We process environmental signals through our physicality and this all this energy field component within and around us. So what kind of images, what forms of imagination have been placed into our inventories, into our fields? And much like I said a little while ago about Mandarin Chinese, it is not likely any of us on this call have very many images about Mandarin Chinese. I speak Spanish, so I have a lot of images about Spanish words, a lot of images of the written word, a lot of sound images of the spoken word, and considerable practice making those sounds myself and writing those words on pieces of paper or on a computer. You go, but that was a deliberate activity by me to learn that. When I was a little boy, the first time I think I ever heard Spanish spoken, and it was spoken by migrant laborers, I went, wow, what a beautiful sound. What a beautiful sound. I imagined Spanish as a beautiful sound. I suppose other people could imagine it differently. How we process in our inventory, right? The only thing I knew was English. I went, wow, that's beautiful. When I was in Costa Rica recently, a woman said to me, I love the sound of English. It's such a beautiful sound. I said, oh, that's so funny. I think of that as Spanish. Oh, English is so beautiful. Really? Yeah. That's not the image I have of English. But it was the image she had of English. She imagined English as a beautiful sounding language. It's like, that's cool. If you're going to imagine things, it is much better to imagine things to like than it is to imagine things not to like. Depending on what our mothers experienced when they were pregnant with us, we can imagine that their imaginings have put images into our inventory. Ah, it's a struggle. Children are struggling. I'm so tired. It's so hard. Can't afford it. And on and on and on and on and on and on. Or, I would think for first children, they would be exposed to, oh, I'm afraid. This is scary. I don't know how to do this. I've never been a mother. So, those images of fear get delivered into our inventory and get triggered in life for us. Like, wow, how did that happen? How did I just get the idea that I can't do something, or it takes too much energy, or it's too hard, or I can't afford it? Well, you can make rational decisions, and this is called justification. Well, you know, I mean, I can't really, I don't have that much money. I can't really afford it. A lot of people imagine that. This is what I imagine. I can afford anything that I really, really value. You know why I know that? Because I've seen it in action for myself. Oh, here, let me sell you a widget. Nah, I can't afford that. because it wasn't valuable enough to me. But if it were really, really, really valuable and it was a good price and I was getting a great value for that, if I could imagine the value for that widget, I'll get the money together for this thing. It's really how it happens. Really how it happens. One of the areas that has been studied, it's not directly related to imagination in the context of the people doing this study, but it is for me. It's called the ACE study, A-C-E study. ACE stands for Adverse Childhood Experiences. Adverse Childhood Experiences. It's a program started by Kaiser Permanente, an HMO in California, a health maintenance organization. When a doctor there was conducting a weight loss class and people that were doing really, really well losing weight quit, and in interviews he identified the reason they quit is because of the change in their minds, their imaginations, that was happening now that they had lost weight. For a woman, she was drawing attention to herself. And that attention from males was starting to scare her. She had been sexually abused as a child. The two men worked in a penitentiary, and when they started to be smaller, lose weight, they were no longer bigger than life and felt vulnerable. In terms of the prisoners they had to deal with, they wanted to be big and powerful and intimidating. But getting smaller, that was starting to dissipate. And they imagined that they were more vulnerable. Both had been sexually molested as children. The doctor said, whoa, I got to figure out what this is about. And he started doing studies, and he recognized that adverse childhood experiences could be identified in the patients of Kaiser Permanente, and they had great histories on a lot of patients. They did a survey. Average age of the people that they surveyed, 55 years old. 8 or 9 or 10 questions, real, real simple. Did you experience this when you were growing up? Did you experience this growing up? Did anybody in your family do this? And if you got a point for each yes, they were able to draw correlations. The Centers for Disease Control got involved in this and started supporting this study that's ongoing now for 12 or 13 years. These images of abuse, of danger, of threat, of risk in a person's childhood impacted a child's imagination. Those are my languaging. Right? So turn around and go, so what correlations did these people draw? Increased drug use, increased evidence of cancer, premarital sex, promiscuity, conception before marriage, and all alcoholism. All kinds of things. The higher the ACE number, the more at risk that person became. Why? Look at the stuff they had in their inventory. All scary stuff, all stressful stuff, all dangerous stuff, all adding to the volatility and unpredictability of the world. You think those kids, now teenagers, now adults, might be under a little bit of more stress than a person who had a much lower score on that ACE study? You bet. So if you rode a bike and you fell off a bike the first 3 times you rode a bike, let me see, what kind of images would you have of bikes? When you looked at a bike, what would you imagine? Last week, talked about authority. What do we imagine would happen when we challenge authority? Well, if we never challenged authority, and we never saw anybody challenge authority, we were completely a clean slate with regard to challenging authority, we wouldn't imagine anything. We would go, I'm going to challenge authority because I want what I want. But, obviously, we have experienced authority, and we have challenged authority, starting at, what, 2 years old or even younger? No, no, don't say no to me. No, no. And little kids running around saying no and doing things that the adults don't want them to do. We know what challenging authority is all about. And our imaginations make it okay today or make it not okay today or somewhere in between. It's like, oh. It's all about imagination. I like the idea that is clarified by this concept. All conflicts and upsets will have one or more of these three things: unfulfilled expectations, thwarted intentions, or undelivered or unreceived communication. Unfulfilled expectation. Expectation. What's an expectation? It's the thing that we imagine. What do you expect to happen tomorrow? You're imagining. Same as me. I'm imagining. It's like, oh, yeah. And if we imagine a bad thing happening, guess what? I'm in stress. I just sent a signal throughout my body to go into the self-protect mode, and I've deprioritized major important functions. But I'll be better able to fight or run from the expectation that I created for tomorrow. But I just experienced it. I just expected it. I just imagined it. And so now I'm in that state of stress. I'm in fight or flight. It's like, whoa, wait. No, this is for tomorrow. Too late. I already imagined the saber-toothed tiger of tomorrow, and I disempowered myself. I'm not as smart as I would have been a moment before that activity. My blood flow is different. My breathing is different. Cell multiplication is different. Cell metabolism is different. Digestion is different. Expectations. Can you imagine? Maybe. Can you imagine if you and I were great at creating our own expectations? If we were excellent imaginers of expectations. I'm going to put my attention on what I want to happen tomorrow. That's my expectation. I feel good about it. I think another thing is necessary that, and I had this experience years ago when I was in sales. Relatively new job, and I'd have to travel half hour, sometimes 45 minutes, to get to a client. I'd make the appointment, and then the morning of the appointment, I would confirm it, and then I would drive that 30, 45 minutes and be stood up. Guess what? I was upset. For a few times, I was upset. So now I'm smoldering in the car at being stood up. I went, oh, this is unworkable. I got to figure out some way to deal with this eventuality. What happens if I confirm an appointment, I go there, and I get stood up? I said, well, hold on a second. What could happen? Let me adjust my expectations. I expected the guy to be there because I just confirmed it an hour before, and then he wasn't there. Life intervened for him. I can't believe my appointment was not the most important thing in his life. Wow, that's how upsetting that is. But what could possibly happen? He could be there, and I make a presentation, and he hears me, and he makes a decision, yes or no, to buy. I really care so much about that. That was up to him. I didn't want to control that. That wasn't my right. I already understood that. But I did want to be heard. I did want to be heard. I did want to explain my point of view, particularly when I've studied this guy's business for hours. So he could be there. He could listen to me and make a yes or no decision. He could be there, but be too busy to see me. He could be there, not be too busy, but refuse to listen to me. He could not be there. He could have gone somewhere else. It's like, So those eventualities could occur. So now, what could I expect? I could expect one or more of those things to occur. And if any one of them occurred, I had plan B. You know, call on somebody else in the area, make another few phone calls, go to a phone booth. This was pre-cell phone. And it's like, oh, yeah. Guess who didn't smolder in the car anymore? Guess who didn't have smoke coming out of his ears in frustration or anger? Guess who wasn't upset? Me. I managed my expectations. I became a better imaginer. If we could be excellent at expecting, and one of the rules that I use is, this is a more contemporary awareness of mine, is I expect everybody to act in their own self-interest according to their level of awareness. I expect it out of me. I expect it out of you. I expect it out of everyone. Everyone is going to act in their own self-interest according to their level of awareness. And I would say, you know, the thing that murderers and saints have in common? They have an imagination. Geniuses and idiots, they have an imagination. Predators and prey, they have imaginations. And, obviously, different levels of awareness, a different imagining about their self-interest. Like, We get images of how men treat women by watching our fathers and our mothers and other adults in our environment. Those signals come in, we process them, we associate meaning, we imagine that this is reality. Well, maybe reality for that man-woman interaction, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's reality for all men and women. It's not necessarily reality when we become men and we become women. Like, how do we know how to be women? How do we know how to be men? We watch the same gender parent or other of the same gender. And we go, this is, I know how to be. One of the ideas that exists out there is, let's say we watch a man and a woman interact unpleasantly. And if there is a winner and loser in that interaction, one ends up being more powerful and one becomes less powerful, we will align with the more powerful. We will see that value of being that person. Even if we are the same gender as the person who was less powerful, we're going to have that energy as well, but we're going to prefer, if you will, to align with the more powerful of those two. Because to be able to identify with the energy of the winner, of course, sounds like a good survival strategy. I want to be more like the person who does the eating instead of the one who is eaten by the predator. This is one of the issues that comes to play when somebody is caught and convicted of being an abuser. It's like, you're an abuser. How did that happen? And inevitably, they have images of being abused, and they have converted that. It's like, well, let me see, abused, abuser, abused, abuser. They imagine they would be better off being the abuser. And then that's how they translate this energy, and they go out into the world and do that. They're not high enough awareness to go, ooh, just because I have that energy that I've taken in through my experiences doesn't mean I have to translate it into being the dominator, the predator, the abuser, the harmer. But that takes a level of awareness that might not be available to everybody. It's like, Here's an exercise. I talk about the 12 worlds as a way to look at the activity that you and I are going to be involved in all day long, every day, all the time. And sometimes we're going to be involved in an activity that impacts more than one world. And this is, I'm just going to run through this list quickly. Spiritual, mental, emotional, physical. And if you start above your head, it's easy to remember this. Spiritual, mental, emotional, physical. Family, career, financial. Social, leisure, community, political, and maintenance. Whatever you do during the day, it is going to fall into one or more of these things. Being on this call, you could say this is spiritual. Maybe it's mental. Maybe it's emotional. No, maybe it's social. Maybe it's community. It could be all of those. So you go, wow, this one activity could impact four or five or six worlds. Yeah. Then you would say, wow, I'm getting a lot of bang for the dollar there, bang for the buck. This is a good investment of my energy to do something that touches so many of my worlds. I feel better because, and you can, yeah. So if you took that list of those 12 worlds and just put one item in there, one item, something that you would like to have, something you would like to experience, let's just take in terms of, it could be physical, you could say a home. I want a home. I want a new home. I want a different home. Or it could be a job, if you wanted a job, or you wanted to create your own business. It could be a career. You want to create your own business. Put one item in each one of these things. You go to just one, because you could put a whole laundry list, but just that one item. And then you turn around and go, okay, I'm going to just choose one item from one world and put your attention on it. But before you do that, let me give you a framework. This is what I refer to as the scale of emotions, 10 emotional states. There are 10 of them. So from the bottom going up, so if you were numbering those, it would be 1 to 10, but this is number 10, shame. And this is very easy to remember. Shame, then above it, right above that at 9 would be apathy. That's depression. Above that would be grief. Shame, apathy, grief. SAG, S-A-G. Above that would be fear, then lust. Lust is craving, not only in a sexual thing, but, you know, I got to have that thing. I got to have that item. I got to have that. You find addictions there. Above that is anger. Above that is pride. So far you've got SAG, S-A-G-F-L-A-P, flap. Above that, the top three emotional states in the scale are courageousness, that's three. Number two would be acceptance, and number one would be peace, CAP, C-A-P, SAG, flap, CAP. Now, if you would put your attention on that one item that you selected out of the 12 worlds and notice where you are emotionally, what emotional state are you in? I referred to the car and Bill. It was fear. If I sell this, I could be consequences, and, you know, they come back to me and they'd be angry at me, and that was fear. Lust would have been, I got to hold on to this house, I got to hold on to this house, I got to hold on to this house. Or Joe with his house upstate New York, I hate these people that disrespect my house and don't appreciate my what I've done and my design and my building and attention to, right? He was in anger. He was in anger. You could say there's pride, too. Like, until they, you know, had that same viewpoint, you know, I'm not going to deal with them. Lisa would have loved her house, and so she was holding it close to her. Again, you could say that was the lust level. You go, so what level are you at when you put your attention on that item in that world? Here's the good news. As you hold that position, that you just quietly observe it, your imagination will take over. And it's like, it's like looking at the book and judging it by its cover and initially, but when you stand there, pretty soon you will open up the book in your imagination. I got to get more information about it. And you will naturally start to rise. You will move up emotionally. You will go, depending on where you start, oh, something's wrong with me. It'll never, I can't do it. You know, that's shame. Oh, this is too complicated. Oh, this is so hard. That's apathy. Oh, I'm going to lose. I've lost. I don't know. I'm going to lose. That's grief. Right? Fear. Uh-oh, I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to, you know, right? Fear. And you can, and you go right up. You just go right up. When you get up to courageousness, which is a very, very wonderful energy, it's that little girl, little boy energy in us that go, I can't wait to see what happens next. I can't wait to discover this. I want to see what goes. This is fun. This is a cool discovery learning experience. Yeah, this is a great experiment. Ah, that is a very appealing place to be with. People will come and support you at that place, that level of enthusiasm. You go, When we raise our emotional state and we are equal to that item in that world that we put our attention on, when we are equal to it, we can have it. We can have it. When we're vibrationally unequal, we're in a little circle or the big circle. Oh, it's just out of my reach, or something else is going on. Yeah. When we're equal, we have imagined it into existence, and inevitably, it'll be ours. It'll be ours. We will be experiencing the thing that we wanted in that world. It's energy. It's energy. It's how it works. You women who are magnetic, like, woo, choo. Soon as you change the flow of energy in your field, you drop the electronic or electric fence that is repelling what you want out of one of those lower vibrations, shame, apathy, grief, fear, lust, anger, pride. When you turn off that flow and switch on the courageousness, acceptance, and peace, you will have what you want. I would like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you're perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.